Good morning, church. Well, after this hymn, all the opening things I've thought to say to you is, I better not say it now. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us music that we can enjoy. But we're most thankful that the lyrics about you, about how you come to the world, how you die for us, how you love us. We thank you that you love us so much that you sent your son to die for us. And may we, as Christmas, we not only sing of your coming, but as we sing this morning, we also sing of the Easter, how you have died for us but rose again. So help us to always remember that you love us so much and that you remind us we are still here, celebrate your Christmas and Easter. You have a plan for us, and you want us to shine for you as well. So may your word this morning will be as beautiful as the song, because it sings of your praise. And we pray this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let me settle down. Okay, so okay, let me begin. In the New Testament uses various different pictures to describe us, describes us humanity. So one of the description uses is sheep, particularly lost sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd, and we are his lost sheep. So what are your thoughts and feelings about sheep? So let us now watch a video clip to see how it prompts your perception of sheep. Let us watch it.
We're getting there. We're getting there. Well, that's better. That's better. That's better. That's more like it now. I'm sure some of them are pong, but you know.
Okay, I'm aiming for that snake going down here.
Don't ask me how many times I watch it. Every time it put a smile on my face. So what's your feelings towards sheep after watching the video? When I first watched it, and even after watching multiple times, I felt a constant sense of pity for them, because they are completely clueless of their direction. They are at the mercy of others. They are like sitting ducks, literally, lambs to the slaughter. Because when the shepherds call them to one side, they will go to one side, and the shepherd dogs bite or direct them to another side, they will go to the other side. So sheep give off a sense of innocence, of simplicity, of obedience. Maybe that's why the problem of getting lost and needing the shepherds to guide them back. The Bible describes people as sheep without a shepherd, who needs a good shepherd to guide them back to God. As lost sheep, we sometimes want Jesus to guide us back to God. However, it's important to remember that the analogy of sheep is just one of the many descriptions found in the Bible. So today, as we dig into the Gospel of John, we would like to explore an alternative portrait of people within the Bible. And by doing so, we hopefully to gain a new perspective of ourselves and others, especially non-Christians. And hopefully this new perspective will give us a deeper understanding of the essence of Christmas and a greater motivation how to live its significance. Today, we want to point out that humanity, besides being a lost sheep, are resisting of the Good Shepherd Jesus. Unlike meek and obedient sheep, humans do not readily respond to shepherd's call. They do not simply come when the shepherd calls them. Instead, they tend to resist or oppose Jesus. If we are like sheep, we are sheep that bites the shepherds. We're indeed sheep without shepherd, but we failed. We fail to recognize that we need him to guide us. We dismiss, reject, or even oppose our shepherd. And knowing that this reality of resisting of Jesus, hopefully, it will affect our approach to Christmas this year. The scripture today is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1 to 13. Let us first read together, verses 1 to 5, to see how it all began. So verse 5, let's read together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Let us start together. First one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness have not overcome it. So first one state that in the beginning was the Word of God, the Son of God. And first four further states that in him, the Word, was life. The life was the light of men. So Jesus is the Word, the life, and the light. Especially the light of men. Because of the context of the passage is the creation accounts. So we must understand verse 5 in light of the creation accounts. So during the initial act of creation, the scripture says darkness was over the face of the deep, until God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Therefore, there's nowhere else in the act of creation. Can we better comprehend the significance of the first stated in verse 5, the light shines in darkness? Precisely because John is talking about the creation, he can describe the victory of the light. The darkness has not overcome it. The darkness has not prevailed against the light right from the beginning, right from the creation. And this is reassuring. The darkness has not overcome the light right from the beginning, from the creation. In our present times, we are in the midst of two wars and a cold war between America and China. And there's a lot of local wars, small wars that we didn't know of. We face injustice and oppression every single day in our courtrooms. We witness distressing surge of student suicides. And while our loved ones battle various forms of illness and cancer. And meanwhile, Our own life may be plundered by job insecurities, financial hardships, and family struggles. For those studying in school, bullying, unhealthy competition could add to the already stressful study. So furthermore, being ridiculed for our faith can be discouraging. So the list seems endless. It is easy to feel overwhelmed by the darkness, as if there's no light in the tunnel. But yet today, God's message assures us the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it from the beginning till now. Therefore, even amidst of countless evils, darkness has never prevailed. It is not all dark and evil. There's still a presence of light and goodness. Just imagine a world without the light of the Word. It would be a place of complete darkness. A place where even the tiniest trace of goodness would vanish. Imagine that. In such a darkness, not only genuine friendship, but even superficial, fair-weather friendships or any kind of relationship would not exist. It's because relationships are inherently based on goodness. In darkness, any kind or any level of relationship will simply not exist. So whenever I see people giving up their seats for others in public transport, I am thankful. It is a reminder for me that goodness still exists in our world. The acts of donating blood, money to charities, volunteering, or people just going out their way to help the people around them is further example of demonstrated that darkness has not overcome the light. Any act of goodness, whether it's from Christians or non-Christians, demonstrates that Jesus' light still shines. While the fall has certainly distorted our image of God, it has not completely erased it. There's still goodness in us and in the world. Friends, are any of you currently facing darkness that you feel that there's no light in the tunnel? Are you overwhelmed with despair and hopelessness? Today, God's message to you is this. The light shines in darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. Let's keep an eye out of goodness, even we are surrounded by evil. Let us find a flick of light amongst darkness, because we believe that darkness has not overcome the light. The light of the world has shone in the darkness since creation, and the darkness has not overcome it since. But the world in its darkness has rejected the light, even though it has not prevailed the light, but it has rejected it. So let us read verses 9 to 11 together to see how the world rejected light. Verse 9. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. So verse 9 tells us that the true light, the light of the world, enlightens and gives light to everyone from creation. From the beginning, this light of creation has been shining up on every human being in the world. And now, the true light was coming into the world. He was in the world. It is as verse 14 states, and the world became flesh and dwelt among us. And this is the essence of Christmas. The light of the world, the Son of God, came into the world, taken on human form, in human flesh, as Son of Man. So in the creation, in the incarnation, and at Christmas, the light of the world embodied both the light of the creation and the light of redemption. Yet although he came into the world, a world that he was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Previously in verse 5, it was stated that darkness has not overcome the light. The Greek word for overcome also means understand or perceive, which explains it differently in translation. It is actually a play on word to say that darkness cannot conquer and or comprehend the light. So those who choose to live in darkness and disbelief cannot understand the light that comes from Christ and is Christ. Hence in verse 10, it states that the world did not know him. The Creator entered the very world he created, yet the people he created failed to acknowledge him. The world failed to understand the light of the word, especially shown in the rejection of Jesus by his own race, the Jewish people. Verse 11, he came to his own and his own people did not receive him. The nation of God have entrusted his revelation of the truth, failed to accept the promised Messiah they have eagerly awaited. This led to the rejection of the Jews by rejection of Jesus by the Jews seen throughout the rest of the gospel. The world did not know Jesus, and his own people did not receive him. And this rejection is described more pointedly in chapter 3, verse 19 to 20. Let us read together verse 19 to 20. Verse 19. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works shall be exposed. So people did not receive Jesus because they love darkness. Not only they love darkness, but they also hate the light, because their works are evil and they do wicked things. They do not come to the light because they fear that their evil deeds being exposed. Church, do you have anything in your life that you rather not having people know? Will you be comfortable with someone using your computer and seeing through your search history? That's good. Good. And how about letting others to see your text messages, emails, and going through your photo albums? Besides privacy issues, is there any sin issues there? We either consciously rebel against God, or we unconsciously suppress and dismiss the truth. We either outrightly reject God, or we're ignorant about him. Either way, we don't want our sinfulness or and our ignorance to be exposed. Sadly, people often experience feelings of unease, guilt, or shame, not necessarily because of their wrongdoing. They don't fear. They don't fear doing bad things. What they fear? They fear getting caught doing bad things. They don't feel remorse about their actions. They only feel sorry when their actions are exposed. Celebrities or politicians often only come forward to admit their wrongdoings when they have been exposed for their actions. Yes, same. They apologize and show remorse only when their actions have been caught to light. They feel sorry not because of their wrongdoing, but because they were caught. If this individual have not been caught, they would likely to continue their actions in secrecy and darkness. Church, do you have anything in your life that you wouldn't want others to know about? Engaging in evil deeds in darkness is certainly bad, but it also affects our relationship with the true light, Jesus. Sin causes us to not love the light, but also love darkness, which hinder us from knowing, receiving, and coming to Jesus. Sin leads us to avoid and hate Jesus, resisting and opposing him. And it's all because this rejection is rooted in fear. Think about children. Children often deny their wrongdoing. Children often deny their wrongdoing and may be resolved to resolved to lying to hide their actions because they fear of going and punished by their parents. And it's not just punishment that they fear. They cannot honestly admit their mistakes because they're afraid of losing their parents' acceptance and love. Don't we sometimes have similar thoughts and behavior? We hide ourselves because we're afraid of revealing our inner darkness to others, fearing that we will not be accepted or liked. We don't want to disclose our shameful thoughts and actions because we dread the possibility of being rejected by others who knows who we truly are. On the one hand, some people openly reject and oppose delights. And on the other, it is more common for people to avoid delights out of fear and therefore choose to hide in darkness. Not that they really like darkness, but they want to hide in darkness because of fear. They are afraid of revealing their true selves, believing that they will no longer be loved. When they're confronted with their own darkness, they struggle to love and accept themselves, and that makes it harder for them to believe that the others will love and accept them. So today's passage speaks strongly of the world's sins, of our sins. People loved the darkness. They hate the light. It seems several and hopeless and dark, but it is important to also consider the significant passage that come before it, John 3:16, which states, God so loved the world. These verses acknowledge that the world rebels against God, yet it is precisely this world, the one that have turned away from God, that God loves. God loves a world that have rejected him. John 3:16, for God so loved the rebellious world that he gave his only son. Verse 17, for God did not send his son into the disobedient world to condemn the world, but in order that the divine world may be saved through him. Verse 19, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the wayward world, and people love the darkness rather than the light. The world that God loves is not innocent or tamed, like obedient sheep following their shepherds. Nor is it a world that of mutuality, a void of opinion and indifference towards God. Instead, the world of God love that God loves rebels, rejects, refuses to come to God. And this is the world that God loves. And precisely in this way, God has extended his love to us, you and me. God's love for us, despite our hostility towards him, is evidenced in John 3:17, which states, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world may be saved through him. Jesus is the true light come to expose our darkness, not to condemn us, but to redeem us. He is the light of redemption. Jesus is like a surgeon who undertake a surgical procedure with the intention to heal rather than to causing harm. Jesus, as doctors operate on patients to restore their well-being, Jesus works to heal and redeem us. As 1 John 4:16 says, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. That is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So Jesus came not to condemn us, but to save us. Through Jesus' light of redemption, we are spared from the punishment that rightfully we deserved. As a result, we can approach the day of judgment with confidence and without fear. There's no need for us to hide from the light or to hate it while hidden in darkness. God loves to take away punishment and cast out fear. Even when Jesus shines his light on our darkness and reveals our sinful self, it is okay. It is because Christmas and Easter are here. It is because of John 3:16. For God so loved the world, so loved you and me. Hence Christmas is here. Church, are you hiding from the light? Are you hiding from Jesus? Are there things you do in secret and burden the guilt and fearful of exposure? It is actually good that we feel guilt and fear when we sin. At least it shows that we have not become indifferent or numb towards sins, which is an alarming state to be in. However, admitting to our sins should not be the end of our journey. It should end with to surrender our wrongdoing to Jesus and allowing him to bury our burden of sins and the punishment they entail. Church, do not let fear of your sins be the end of you. Instead, let Jesus' light of redemption shine into your darkness. Let's not reject the light as the world does. Instead, let him expose your sins and darkness so that you can be healed and have his salvation. Through this, we no longer need to live in fear, but to have confidence on the day of judgment, because there's no fear in love. The true light enlightens everyone and inevitably divides humanity. There are those who do not know, receive, and come to him, but God's love has changed everything. He no longer rejects the light. We no longer reject the light. Instead, we accept it. We're even willing to witness about the light. With love, there's no fear of condemnation, allowing us to come to the light with confidence, as stated in chapter 3, verse 21. But whoever does what is true comes to the light. Whoever does what is true comes to the light. At the same time, we have a new relationship with God. We become children of God, born of him. Let us continue to read back to chapter 1, verse 12 to 13. Let us read together. Verse 20. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So those who received and believe in him are given a new identity as children of God. And this new identity changes their way of life, as written in chapter 3, verse 21. Whoever does what is true comes to the light. And this is a stark contrast to the old ways of darkness mentioned in 3:20. Everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light. So those who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light. In contrast, those who do what is true come to the light. Those who do evil avoid the light because they don't want to be exposed. However, those who practice true come to the light, not to have spotlight on their good deeds, but to show that their actions are only done through reliance on God. As verse 21 continues to state, so that it may be clearly seen that his work has been carried out in God. This means that those who do evil are exposed and condemned. However, this does not mean that those who practice truth are automatically justified and saved. Our justification comes through faith, not our works. Therefore, those who do what is true cannot and should not seek justification for their good works. Doing good deeds simply serve as evidence that his works have been carried out in God. It shows that only when enlightened by the true light can one do good, can one do true and right. Doing good deeds is not to show how good we are, to let others know how good we are, but rather to make it known that without the true light, we will still be in darkness doing bad things. The true light enlightens everyone and inevitably divides humanity. There are those who receive, believe, and draw near to the light, and there are those who reject the light and hate and reject the light and love darkness. These two groups are completely different and mutually exclusive. It is clearly contrast between light and darkness, and there's no in-between. In his teaching, John teaches that humanity is not innocent, docile or obedient like lost sheep. The world is lost, but it is not impartial, mutual or innocent. The truth of the matter is, to different extents, we all have loved the darkness rather than the light. Each, every one of us may have a degree of fear, avoidance, or even hatred towards the light due to our bad thoughts and actions. Every person has hidden sins that they wish no one would know about. Nevertheless, the purpose of this passage is not for us to judge those in darkness, not even ourselves, but to recognize the pressing needs of those in darkness, including me and you. Those who do not believe in Jesus are not indifferent towards God. They are actively opposed to Jesus. So the spiritual condition of unbelieving friends and families are precarious. They need the gospel. Those who love darkness rather than the light urgently need true light to be saved. Church, do you see the precarious state of your unbelieving friends and families? Do you see that they urgently need the light of redemption? Those who love darkness rather than the light need the true light. We must share and testify the true meaning and significance of Christmas and Easter, just as John the Baptist testified to Jesus, as mentioned in chapter 1, verse 6 to 9. Let us read our final passage, chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all may believe through him. He was not the light, but came to about the light. So in chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, the passage about John the Baptist positioned quite interestingly. So curiously, verses 1 to 5 talks about Jesus. And then the focus shifts to John the Baptist in verses 6 to 8. And then in verse 9, the topic returns to Jesus. So therefore, verses 5 can be directly linked to verse 9. So the first part is about Jesus, the middle part about John, and the third part is about Jesus. So we can actually skip the between. So why does the passage discuss Jesus and then interrupt with the story of John in between? And I believe it is because God wants us to understand that in the process of creating the world through the Word and the Word becoming fresh for salvation, God intends to use human, in that case John the Baptist, as witness. John the Baptist represents the bridge between the light of the creation and the light of the redemption. John the Baptist came to bear witness about the light. But did Jesus really need John's help? Jesus is the true light. He shines and enlightens everyone, and darkness have never overcome it. And as mentioned in 1 John 1:5, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So basically, all Jesus needed to do was to shine in the darkness, and that would be enough. Jesus didn't need John's help back then. God doesn't need us, human testimony, now. But even so, he still chooses sinful human being his witness. Although we are children of God and children of light, we are still sinful. We still have darkness within us. Yet, God still chooses us to be his witness. He chooses and calls upon us, even with our sinfulness, to testify on his behalf. And this is such a privilege. But the thing is, even though we still have darkness within us, Jesus says that we are light of the world. He even commands us to let our lights shine before others. Matthew 5:14, Jesus says, we are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So church, despite our sinfulness, despite our waywardness, Jesus still loves you and loves me. Are you willing and confident enough to draw near to Him? Please remember, there's no fear enough. Let Him shine in your darkness. Let Him heal you and save you. Jesus uses us despite our flawed and sinfulness. Will you bear witness to the true light? Are you ready to bring Jesus' light to others during this Christmas? Even though we still have darkness within us, but we are the light of the world. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the light that shines in the darkness, and darkness cannot overcome it. We know that no matter how dark the world may seem, sin cannot overcome or overwhelm us. Thank you for Jesus who has enlightened everyone. And we are so grateful that we have received the light and believed in Jesus. We also pray that you will open our eyes to see the dangerous situation of our unbelieving loved ones. Show us how much they need your light. We ask that we, as the light of the world, are willing and able to shine the light of Jesus on them. May your light shine brightly this Christmas, and may it be an opportunity for them to come to the true light and be healed and be redeemed. And we pray all this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.